Here is Voice of Indonesia with the news. The Indonesian Ministry of Finance, in collaboration with Asian Development Bank, has successfully converted 27 government loans from US dollars and Japanese yen into Indonesian rupiah, amounting to 3.3 billion US dollars. This marks ADB's first large-scale local currency conversion, reflecting its broader strategy to support the development of local currency markets across the Asia-Pacific regions. Quoted from RRI.co.id, Indonesian Deputy Finance Minister Thomas Jiwandono explained that the debt conversion will allow the government to reduce financing costs and minimize financial uncertainty. Indonesian Ambassador to the Kingdom of Cambodia, Santo Darmo Sumarto, discussed efforts to combat transnational crime and protection of Indonesian citizens during a visit by the 34th Batch Delegation of Indonesian National Police Staff and Leadership School to Phnom Penh, Cambodia on Monday. According to the information from Indonesian Embassy in Phnom Penh, obtained in Jakarta on Monday, Indonesian delegation was in Cambodia for an overseas work study from the 19th to the 22nd of May 2025. In his remarks, Ambassador Santo expressed hope that the visit would provide a more concrete understanding for the prospective police leaders regarding various aspects in Cambodia. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Di hati masih ada. Oh, oh. Phurophot Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Phurophot Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Phurophot Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Phurophot Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Phurophot Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Phurophot Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Phurophot Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Phurophot Island, you have to cross by boat known as Ro-Ro Ship or Roll-On Roll-Off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Phurophot Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yang lain, getaran jiwa mengungkapkan maksudnya. Aku di sini merasakan indahnya. Katakan bila engkau bukan untukku, karena ku kini tak dapat berpindah ke hati yang lain.
Lady, I know you're the one for me.
Thank you. Apabila aku pun merasakan ada getaran itu, meskipun ku mengerti engkau di situ masih meragu. Untuk kau buka semua ruang untukku, namun ku akan setia menanti hingga kau yakini.
Lady, I know you're the one for me. Lady, you're the one I need.
Thank you very much. You are still tuning tune on RRW Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Don't forget to send your criticism, suggestion, and even questions to our WhatsApp number +62 821 2381 2130 +62 2381 2130. And after this, listener, we'll be listening to an interview by our colleague Daulat Pane talking about via like a journalist visit program with Joaquin Aguilera from El Mercurio Chile and also Richard Iron and Blend, the City Paper Limited Colombia. So stick tuned on our radio service, Voice of Indonesia.
In making sure the best choice was made to prevent or minimize flood in Jakarta, everyone was involved, including those in the neighboring city, Bogor. Introducing the Katulampa Floodgate. Located in the city of Bogor, Katulampa is one of the most important points of the Ciliwung River that spans across the mountainous part of Bogor to the coasts of Jakarta. Built in 1911, today the 74-meter floodgate still plays many roles, including providing water for Bogor City and the Bogor Palace, irrigation for agriculture, as well as observation posts for flood early warning for every part of Greater Jakarta passed through by Ciliwung River. To ensure these functions run well, some watchers are posted 24/7, right in the face of Katulampa floodgate. These watchers would take care of the gates of Katulampa as well as the piling garbages in the river. The watchers of Katulampa believe that by taking care of the nature will take care of us.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, today here in our studio we have two very important persons from Bogota, Colombia, and also from Chile. I will introduce on my left is Richard Amblin. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to our studio.
Thank you. Excellent to be here.
And the other one is Joaquin Aguilera from Chile. How are you?
Really fine. Thank you for your invitation.
Welcome to our studio. And they are here in Jakarta today. I'm for a few days or maybe 1 or 2 weeks. How long have you been here?
No. We arrived on Saturday and we are leaving tomorrow.
Saturday and leaving tomorrow. So almost...
4 days.
I lost count. Well,
4 days. Yes, we've been losing count because of jet lag.
So my colleagues here are from the Forum for East Asia Latin America Cooperation, FIALAC, organized by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry. And today we are going to talk about their... Okay, just a lighter conversation. I think we'll talk your experience here, and then we will talk a little bit about our places of working, media. Mm-hmm. How is the media growing today? Because as we know that there are some medias in the in some parts of the world are shutting down because of financial problem. But we don't want to hear it today here in the studio, right? You agree with me? Okay, first I will go to Richard. Okay, Richard, you have been here for 4 days. So what do you get from the visit for these 4 days?
Well, I think that there are a lot of similarities because both Colombia, the country where I'm a resident of and I run a media company, and Indonesia are all both pretty much on the same equatorial line. So in terms of a lot of the food diversity that I see on the streets of Indonesia, they might go by a different name, the fruits and the foods, but there are a lot, we have a lot in common in terms of our, the coffee, for example. Indonesia is a major exporter of coffee, the cacao, the chocolate. When you go into villages in Indonesia, you see this abundance of vegetables and fruits that are harvested locally, and it's something very similar to what we see in Colombia. So I think the connection between people and land is very important. Mm-hmm. I see a very highly organized society in Indonesia. We all, both capitals, Bogota and Jakarta, have large populations. And so traffic and mobility becomes very difficult. But overall, I see a good management of the flow of vehicles. You have a very good grid, transportation, railway infrastructure, mm-hmm. great highways. That so even though people may complain about the speed of traffic, it works. And I see a highly developed country that is playing a major role in Southeast Asia in terms of attracting investment, enterprise. And I think in Colombia we have a lot to learn from what we see in the Indonesian model, because you have a very large population. And even though we're not that big, we're only 44 million, but there's a lot that we can learn from Indonesia.
44 million is less than the Java population.
Exactly.
Jakarta alone, during the working day, there are around 10 to 12 million people coming here. And during that night, maybe it's around 9 to 10 million people stay in Jakarta. Okay, so before I move to Joaquin Aguilera, I love coffee very much. I would like to... Did you try the Indonesian coffee?
Well, I think so, because I think that what I'm being served has to come from Indonesia.
Okay.
I know it's a much stronger coffee than the Colombian, but it's got a big reputation internationally. Indonesia is known for its Sumatra blends, and, you know, it's pretty much available worldwide. It's hard not to see Sumatra blend or Java blends in international coffee houses. So it's you have a big global image in terms of coffee production, like Colombia, but we have very different type of coffee.
Okay, do you think that the Colombian coffee is stronger or
no? It's very mild. Colombia has the almost exclusive rights worldwide for a bean called the Arabica.
Okay.
And the Arabica bean is a very mild bean. They always, you know, if you remember the campaigns with Juan Valdez and the coffee mule, it's always about the smoothness of Colombian coffee. But the truth of the matter is one of the only thing that makes Colombian coffee unique in the coffee industry worldwide is that each bean has to be picked by hand.
Okay.
And this is something that very few countries are doing right now because of labor costs, and having to pick each bean by hand is a very labor-intensive process.
Okay, labor costs.
Labor costs.
We have just tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Joaquin, same. You have been here for 4 days. So how do you experience for this visit for 4 days?
Okay, so just as Richard mentioned, I think that just about staying here for a few days, we can tell that actually there's a lot of similitudes between Latin American countries and Southeast Asia. We have been in Singapore before Indonesia.
Okay.
And I think that in this world scenario, what media is every day talking about, this new global scenario about trading I'm talking about, it's very important for both Southeast Asia and Latin American countries that actually everybody should know that we are not so different. And I think that this kind of visits is really good for that. We are here with our colleagues from not only Chile and Colombia, but Paraguay, Uruguay, Peru, Mexico. So I think that that's a really good thing. Actually, just for being here, for instance, I worked in radio in my country too, and it's like a similar story because of over there, Chile is a country exposed to natural disasters too, and the radio is the main media when something happens. I mean, we have big earthquakes, for instance, and the TV shut down, the digital media shut down, and the radio is still the most important media over there in that case.
That's good things from the radio, okay?
Exactly.
The other, equipment is down, but the radio is still on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the same here in Indonesia. We are like Radio Republic Indonesia. We are also part of the early warning system, as you know, that we are lying in the ring of fire. So, based on your schedule, I got from one of our friends from the Indonesian friend of First Ministry that you visited various places here, including the electric in the Purwakarta. Okay, the powerhouse in Purwakarta.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. So, what do you see? I mean, what do you say about this powerhouse? Because this is one. Big powerhouse in Indonesia.
Well, in the Sitara Reservoir, we visited the huge solar panel plant and the hydroelectric dam that provides the energy to West Java. It's absolutely monumental. Actually, what's interesting is that, you know, a lot of countries want to make a green energy transition and have it as their, as one of their agendas for climate change, and to reach by 2050, by, you know, according to the different United Nations standards, the conventions, whether they're going to do it in 2050 or 2060. But Indonesia is definitely moving forward on green energy, and this is going to be a very important part of your economy. And I think as well as giving people access to clean energy for vehicles, and I think that can make Indonesia very competitive in the electric vehicle market.
Yes.
You know, right now we're seeing kind of a domination in global trade of Elon Musk's Tesla, and we saw what happened to shares around the world when he joined Trump as an advisor, and how Tesla shares have crashed a lot around Europe. But this can give a lot of impetus to more competition from Southeast Asian car manufacturers. I think it also makes cars more affordable, clean energy more affordable for middle-income homes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that we all need, whether you're in Indonesia or you're in Colombia or you're in Chile, is to bridge the gaps of inequality. I think that what we're seeing, one of the major problems we face in Latin America is corruption.
Oh.
And corruption at a political level has become endemic, has become almost accepted form of governance. And it's very sad because instead of these resources being invested in providing better healthcare, providing better living conditions for vulnerable populations, instead of really trying to bridge the social inequality gap, the money is just being fueled out of the economy. So I think anything that has to do with improving the welfare of people, I think that's where government should be going, and that's where the clean energy transition can help.
Okay, good. I also want to hear from Hogan.
Yes, I think actually that the clean energy efforts are actually another point of similitude between Latin America and Southeast Asia, in this case, Indonesia. Because of in Chile, we more than the half that the electrical consumption is from clean energies, because of we have this really dry desert, so we have a lot of solar plants, we have a lot of eolic energy too. But even when we have all of these natural resources, maybe we're not putting these projects in such a priority as you are. So maybe you have a bigger consumption of carbon or fuel-based energy, but you're actually putting this in a priority list. So I think that maybe our countries can actually learn for the about the strategic place that you're giving to this, because you're making a big project like this one that we're talking about, and you made it in just 10 years, mm-hmm. considering both project planification and actual building. So I think that that's a real good example to countries that have better resources, but maybe not that strategic planification.
Okay, so yeah, we know that Indonesia is working on the to reach its 32% on net zero emission.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it will be, it will come true.
It's an ambitious goal.
Yeah, it's an ambitious goal. Mm-hmm. And they were working also to promote more the use of the EV, electric vehicle. If you are here in Jakarta for these days, so I think you found that many cars on the roads are already EV kinds mm-hmm. of EV.
And motorcycles too.
Yeah, and motorcycles too. Okay, we call it Ojek. This is kind of the online taxi for the motorbike. So let's talk about our function media, Richard and Joaquin. Okay, talking about green energy, net zero emission side. So how potential is, the media in your country, back to your country, Colombia and Chile, to educate the people on your country to understand, okay, green energy, net zero emissions, this is very important, and this is our, homework together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think media has to have a social role. I think that unfortunately, because the media ecosystem is shrinking due to financial problems, a lot now of what's being spread about the importance of conservation efforts. We just hosted this year in Cali, Colombia, the big COP16 environmental conference, and it was a big global attendees around the world. A lot of what we were seeing about the process of educating people about protecting the environment. Colombia is the second most biodiverse country on the planet. We have more than 4,000 species of birds. We are home to a massive biodiversity. It's done by more or less independent media. A lot of, I would even say, good or far, the social media plays a very important role in reaching young people with these messages. I think that the role of the big traditional media now in trying to educate populations is not very strong, because first of all, a lot of the vulnerable populations or people that need to conserve the environment in regions of Colombia where there is deforestation, where there are illegal gold extraction, they're not reading newspapers anyway. You know, newspapers tend to be localized very much in large urban centers. And so when you want to reach these rural populations, these vulnerable people in remote areas or along the Pacific coast, on the Caribbean, it's the social media that's reaching more people. And radio, once again, seems to be, that continues to be the main source of spreading efforts to news and stories to people about important conservation initiatives. It's not the traditional press.
Okay.
Yes, I think that I agree that media is unfortunately not so strong that maybe it was like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, especially newspapers or media that are more specialized in things like this. But nevertheless, I think that every effort is welcome, and papers should have to every day talk about, maybe the business environment, if actually the clean energy projects are not getting on the time that they have to get, we have to talk about that. If we are having problems with the development, we have to talk about that. And if government is not actually reaching their plans, we have to talk about that. And I think that media still has an important role in on that side. But I think that the public investment is the main game changer here. We have to educate on social media, on television, and mostly the massive media consumption.
Okay. So before we come to the end of this conversation, Richard and Joaquin, I would like to know a little bit about this program. So which part of this program, I mean, provided by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, that most impressed you after 4 days here? Who first? Richard?
Well, okay, sorry. About the entire program, I think that it's not about monuments, nor buildings, nor architecture. I think what has really impressed me about being in Indonesia is the hospitality and the kindness of the Indonesian people. I mean, you can have fantastic historical sites anywhere in the world, beautiful volcanoes, lakes, rivers, mountains. But what has really impressed me is the warmth and the generosity and the kindness of the people of Indonesia. Besides the exceptional food, right? So one thing I'm really gonna miss when I get home is the Indonesian kind of cooking and the satays and the nasi gorengs and exactly. I have to make sure that I keep that alive in my home and in my memories.
Okay.
Well, in the Pacific, I was really impressed about the huge effort that you're making on investing in this kind of projects about clean energy and the commitment that you have with that. But I agree with Richard that the special thing about being in Jakarta, it's like to experience the walking in the streets, the food and everything that it's like, as I'd say at first, it's really not that different about Latin America. We have a lot of similitudes. We are across the sea. It's a long flight. But I think that everybody should know that we're not so different and we have actually a lot of opportunities for cooperation.
Okay. The last one is, that's the camera. Just for a short message to our friends, journalists out there, especially from the Latin America, what you want to say to them about this program?
This is a fantastic program. It's given me an opportunity to engage here with Indonesia. And I wish everybody, I wish that we can bridge the great divides and perceptions that we have amongst us and build more cooperation, engagement between Latin America and Indonesia.
Yes, I'm really grateful about this invitation. I hope that a lot of journalists from Latin America maybe could visit in this program or by themselves, Southeast Asia. It's a place you need to know, and I hope too that maybe a lot of you colleague journalists from here should know Chile and all our other Latin American countries.
Okay, thank you, Richard, and also Joaquin. Okay, dear friends, that's my colleague here, Richard from Colombia and Joaquin from Chile, about their experience visiting Indonesia for 4 days, and then I hope next year is your turn. I'm Dalat Pane. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. And via streaming on vonews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Thank you for listening to Voice of Indonesia through RRI Digital Mobile App. You can enjoy directly not only the Voice of Indonesia, but the programs of all RRI stations across Indonesia, as well as your favorite playlist, inspirational podcast, and the latest video news. You can immediately interact with us by using like, comment, share, and live chat. RRI Digital, a solution for entertainment and information in your hands. Download now on Google Play or Apple App Store.
Ku tanamkan hatiku tumbuh bersamamu. Hingga akhir masa hidupku, dengarlah kau dengar. Selama bumi berputar, ku tetap milikmu. Dewi, bukalah kedua
This you'll listen to a ritual of drinking tea. Well, tea time ritual from Sunda called Janud. Stay tuned on Aerial World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Itu sebenarnya tradisi minum tehnya orang Sunda.
Nyanit is actually the tea drinking tradition of the Sundanese people. It originally developed by the communities around Mount Cikuray. The name comes from the Sundanese word nyanditkeun, which means to bring closer. So, through tea drinking, we can strengthen the bonds of togetherness among us.
That was the explanation of Nyanit, a tea ritual from the Sundanese land, which Dasep Berusalam is striving to preserve. In the Nyanit tradition, the tea used comes from local plantations. It is brewed in the traditional way, using water sourced from springs around Mount Cikuray. Before boiling, prayers are recited over the water. The dried tea leaves are then added and left to steep for a while until the tea is ready to serve. When the tea is served in the teapot, the atmosphere must remain calm.
Ayo orangnya nih.
The glass of tea is rotated twice, clockwise, over the palm of the hand. Then, the aroma of the tea is inhaled 3 times. This is followed by sipping the tea 4 times gradually.
Jadi ada 4 seruputan.
So in the ritual, there are four sips of tea. The first sip is just to let the tea touch the tip of the tongue. The tea is still between warm and hot. We don't drink it all at once. And the second sip, let the tea reach the middle of the tongue. At the third sip, let the tea reach the back of the tongue. And at the four sips, hold the tea for 3 seconds before you swallow it.
Yang keempat, pangkal lidah ditahan 3 detik baru diminum.
The Santeria's old tradition is considered a medium for spreading religious teachings. It is said that Sunan Gunung Jati also used the Nyana tradition as a way to propagate Islam. Moreover, every step of this tradition carries its own profound meaning.
Jadi dua itu.
So, the ritual is actually meaningful. Rotating the glass twice symbolizes that life revolves around two things, day and night, male and female, and others. Life is always about pairs. Inhaling the aroma 3 times signifies that our intention works. An action should always be good and pure. The meaning of the four sips is that within us, from we were born until we die, there are four elements that always accompany us: water, earth, air, and fire. These four elements will always be with us, providing goodness in line with what we seek.
Memberikan kebaikan-kebaikan juga beriringan dengan apa yang kita inginkan.
This tradition, which has begun to fade even among the Sundanese people themselves, is now being revived by Dasep through the Nyanit Festival, which has been held since 2017.
Dampaknya alhamdulillah. Jadi,
the impact of the Nyanit Festival is alhamdulillah, although it's not significant, but more people are curious, enthusiastic about Nyanit. Oh, we actually have a tea drinking tradition. And it encourages people to make tea drinking as a habit. And then, in my opinion, it has also contributed to increasing the appreciation for tea among the public.
Apresiasi masyarakat gemar minum teh.
Now, the Nyanit tradition is becoming increasingly well-known. In addition to hoping that this tradition can be preserved, Dasep also aims for Indonesia to products which play important role of this tradition to gain a special place in people's heart.
First, tea in Indonesia remains preserved, especially in mountainous areas that still maintain their tea plantation, and our hopes for the future as the Nyanit community is to create a Nyanit village. This village will be integrated, not just hosting an annual festival, but also serving as a permanent Nyanit village.
Tahunan setahun sekali ya Nyanit tuh, tapi ada kampung Nyanitnya juga.
That's what I feel. Hold my hand and dance with me. Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yang kau sembunyikan pura-pura diam dengan sedikit gerak perlahan. Jadi
move on with the groove.
Everybody yo,
move on with the groove.
Percuma saja diam berdiri, nanti sampai rumah malah pengen denger lagi.
Lagi ya terus saja.
Jika begini jadi ingat usia senja. Jikalau kau nanti lebih tinggi dari raja, nikmati hidup dengan pelakon di kepala. Memang tak lebih hebat dari pengawan solo, apalagi jika kau dengar alunan gesang. Tapi please dong ayam dengar jangan parno. Lebih baik kita semua ikut
oke. So what?
Kolaborasi hebat 2007 Kocok rap roku. Boleh diadu.